Is the Microsoft CEO dating game finally coming to a close? From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. Microsoft is nearing the end of its search for a new CEO. It's been a long process as the company's tried to woo a string of executives. Reports today say the leading candidate is Satya Nadella, a veteran engineer and executive from inside the company. But this is not just any CEO hunt, and Microsoft is not just any company. It's the biggest software maker in the world, and it wants to fundamentally shift its business. James McQuivey is an analyst at Forrester Research. Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of us know Microsoft from the stuff that surrounds us, Windows, Word, but it's no secret that the company wants to pivot away. Lay out their current dilemma for us.
Microsoft makes all of its money off of those products, and both of those things are coming to a point of stagnation. And as a result, Microsoft needs to figure out what's next for the company. But how do you bring in a CEO who's capable of tending that cash cow while at the same time pivoting away from it? That's a very hard act for anyone to accomplish.
Yeah, I think Bill Gates called it a complex position. How much does a new leader matter to making that transition happen?
Microsoft right now is in a little bit of a personality void. You look around and you see people who are leading companies forward with energy, with passion, and if Microsoft's next leader does not inspire that, you're going to see a lot of people probably take off and look for startup venues and other places where they can use their talents.
Yeah, Microsoft seemed to romance some high-profile CEOs that didn't work out. Does it matter to investors if the candidate comes from the inside or the outside?
You know, I don't know that investors should care. I think they do care. An insider at least is going to know the ropes of the company, is going to know who they're upsetting when they start making decisions that go away from the past. But at the same time, that might inhibit them. So I think that's why a lot of investors are leaning towards an outsider who can just break from some of those traditions while looking firmly forward.
James McQuivey at Forrester Research, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
When you're in a position of power, you get no shortage of unsolicited advice. Bearing that in mind, we wondered what thoughts people might have for Janet Yellen as she becomes chair of the Federal Reserve after Ben Bernanke's term ends today. Marketplace's David Gura took a wide sampling.
If you were to write a letter of advice to the head of the Fed, what would it say?
Dear Chairman Yellen.
Dear Janet.
Dear Janet, treat others as you want to be treated.
Ed Morales is visiting Washington, D.C. from California. We asked him and others outside the Fed's headquarters what advice they'd give someone starting a new job. Morales says he'd tell Yellen to keep up good lines of communication with coworkers.
And get them the respect that you would want, and obviously you would receive the same respect in turn, and it'd make for a better work environment.
Someone who knows about the Fed's work environment is Donald Cohn. We asked him what advice he'd give. Like Yellen, Cohn was once the Fed's vice chairman.
Dear Janet, better you than me?
Cohn was a finalist for Janet Yellen's new job. So what would he say to his friend and former colleague?
May the force be with you.
Cohn has heard Yellen say she's a Star Wars fan. In his letter, Cohn would convey his best wishes.
And whatever the extra oomph she needs, I hope she has it, and I think she will.
John Makin is an economist with the American Enterprise Institute, a conservative think tank, and his advice is, well, let's just say more specific than what we got from passersby.
I hope that you'll put a higher priority on avoiding deflation.
Susan Tendall says she'd tell Yellen the same thing she'd tell her adult kids.
Dear Janet, take lots of notes.
Tendall lives in North Potomac, Maryland.
Review those notes every night until you know what you're doing, and keep a smile on your face and not to give up.
That may be easier said than done. Yellen is starting a job that's, well, pretty stressful, only a few years after the financial crisis. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
This weekend's Super Bowl pits two states that have legalized recreational marijuana against each other, Denver Broncos versus the Seattle Seahawks. And that spawned all sorts of drug-inspired nicknames. The Stoner Bowl, the Bud Bowl. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports it's a big opportunity for the pro-pot faction.
The weed bowl, the bowl bowl. On Facebook, Cheech and Chong have suggested the tagline, lots of hits, no penalties. The Super Bowl is the perfect opportunity to talk marijuana and marijuana laws. Greg Wagner is a marketing professor at the University of Denver.
You are dealing with, you know, two very likable, visible teams from, you know, the legalized states.
For groups that want more legal pot, he says, it's a chance they can't pass up.
Let's jump in there and be a part of the party.
A group called the Marijuana Policy Project spent $5,000 on pro-pot billboards near the stadium. Kevin Oliver is with the Washington State affiliate of NORML, which stands for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Most people are just interested in the Super Doobie Bowl or whatever.
But he says he hopes that humor will turn into a bigger discussion about legalization and employee rights. Not anything the NFL is in the mood for. It declined comment. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
By the way, if you like that story about Janet Yellen and you have a few thoughts on the economy you want to share with her, head on over to marketplace.org to write your own Dear Janet note. Our web producer is Max Bernstein, and our senior producer is Nicole Childers. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.